the mic? Can you hear me in the back? No? Can you hear me? Mic is better? Okay. The mic is better? Okay. I'm going to begin my share tonight with a disclaimer. And the disclaimer is based on a Gemara that appears in the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara tells us that when Rav wanted to receive smicha, wanted to be able to paskin shayles and uchas b'chor, so in order to paskin shayles and b'chor, you have to know a little bit about animals. If you don't know about animals, it's going to have to paskin shayles. So Rav went and spent a couple of months hanging out with the farmers to try to get a better understanding about the veterinarian issues before paskining about whether an animal is a mechor, has a mum or not. So you see from that Gemara that it's critical before you paskin any shayla that you have to have an understanding of the metzius. So let's say somebody comes to ask me a shayla for Shabbos and I don't understand what the metzius is, so I better find out. I better ask somebody. Somebody asks me a shayla that requires medical expertise. I didn't go to medical school, so I better find out from somebody who does have that expertise. So that's what my disclaimer is. I'm supposed to talk about Torah and money, so I can talk a little bit about Torah, but I don't know too much about money. I don't have a finance background. I don't have too much money, so I don't have that much to say about the money part. But we'll try to bear with me, and we'll see what we can put together. The Gemara in the second parak of Maseches Brachos tells us that it's really bad. Mamish can't hear without the sister. You really can't hear in the back? No, Mamish can't hear without the mic. No. What? Oh, because the air conditioning is so loud. Okay. All right. We'll try to do our best. The Gemara tells us in the second Pekah Maseches Brachos that if a person says Kriya Shema without wearing tefillin, it's a meyad edesheka be'atzmo. He is literally testifying falsely against himself. He's saying, Ukshartu liyosei adecho. And he's not wearing tefillin. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that that is not only true about that pasuk, Ukshartu liyosei adecho, it's true about all the words of Kriya Shema. So imagine a person gets up and he says, and he hasn't opened up a sefer in 6 months. So I'm not advocating not saying Shema. I'm just saying that you got to worry, you got to wonder a little bit. Isn't that a violation of Meir Shech B'Yatzmo? A person says, and he doesn't really love a Kesh Baruch too much. So that's a big problem. That's a Meir Shech B'Yatzmo. So when you get to the last of those phrases, the Mishnah at the end of his brachos tells us, one of the interpretations of B'chol Yodecha means B'chol Mamoncha, with all of your money. If that's the case, so if we say that Pasuk twice a day, then you throw it in for good luck for Kriya Shema Lamita, so you're saying every single day, multiple times a day, B'chol Yodecha, I'm going to love a Kiddush Baruch Hu with all of my money. So you better know what you're saying, and you better mean it, because if it's not, that's going to be a big problem. That's going to be a Me'od Eid Shecha B'Yatzmo. So that's going to be the background why I feel it's so important to talk about this topic. What does that mean? Well, there's no problem. I once, 1 year, I started a series of shiurim on Shavuos night, so I was supposed to go like from 12 to 5. So as a joke, somebody brought me one of those like Poland Spring, like big monstrosities. We're still going. So that was 15 years later, it's still left. So if the halacha requires of us to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol mamoneinu, b'chol mamoneinu, with all of that money, we have to understand what exactly that means. So I think that there are really multiple levels and multiple layers as to what it means to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol mamon, and I really want to try to get a little bit of a background, some to really quote unquote halacha l'maisa, or at least a machshava l'maisa, applications of what does it mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol mamoneinu, because again, it's such a critical, fundamental question. Chazal do not take this lightly when they say that Tchilas Dinu Shel Adam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us, Yachanevi Asim Shana, and asks us a whole series of questions. And one of the top two questions up there, a little bit of a question as to which is the first question, which is the second question. But at the end of the day, if you don't pass all the questions, it's not a good situation. There is no, there is no taking this for, a second semester or something. I'm not going to talk about the ramifications there are. So you better pass the first time around. Don't be like some of those students of mine from 15 years ago who are still looking for a peel in my Freya from the 1980s. So you better pass the test. That may be you. You may be one of those. Just kidding. So one of the questions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us with the utmost seriousness is, Nasata v'nasata v'yavuna. Are we honest in our business dealings? And this is really where it all starts. So before we talk about, almost like with Mishur Sabin, and before we talk about loving Hashem with all our money, let's say it very straight, without mixing any words, that it's a double parsha dat ma'od, that it is impossible to be considered to be a Shomer Torah mitzvah without being honest in all of one's business dealings. Therefore, there are many, many, many intricate areas of halacha that a person has to be familiar with, and a person has to have shailas in this area as well, and a person has to do with the utmost scrutiny in the realm of cheshen mishpah, in the realm of business dealings. This is not only true in terms of our business dealings with Jews, this is true with our business dealings with non-Jews as well. And therefore, under no circumstances can a person cut any corners whatsoever in this. There's so many different manifestations, so many different ramifications of this, as to things that people sometimes take lightly, questions that we would never ever dream of being makel about in areas of Shabbos and Kashrus, and yet when it comes to Chutz Gezeilah, so somehow we have a different Shulchan Aruch, a different standard. So one has to be machmir, so to speak. One has to be mahadrin and mahadrin in one's approach in terms of real hefsid mamon lechavero. Hefsid mamon lechavero does not only mean to an individual, it means to businesses, to corporations, to governments, to any other kind of shape or form that involves any degree of gezel. So gezel is the leash of something. We're not even talking about that. It's like embarrassing that we have to get up and talk about gezel. I remember once Rabbi Shechter had an interesting ha'ara. He said that he thought that if the Torah wouldn't have said, you know, lo signo, but lo di aseres adibros, but it would have just been like a yesh omim in the bottom of a dirshim mishnebura or something, it probably would have had more success. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it as one of the, I mean, not literally one of the steps, but the signal from some, whatever that means, got enough nefesh, got a mama, whatever the meaning is. The bottom line is obviously gnev and gezela and business and honesty are things which are of the utmost significance. That notion that a person can be a shomater or mitzvah in ben olam mafom and some of cut corners olam chaveru is an absurd concept. It's something which is completely antithetical to everything that the Torah stands for. I remember when I was a kid, so I have no idea why, but maybe Brian can help me also on this one because we went to the same elementary school, that they used to have this like project, this exercise or something, that they would talk about two different kinds of lifestyles. One was a lifestyle of somebody who keeps Shabbos and Kashrus, but he's a crook, he's a cheat, and he rips everybody off from business. Then you have another guy who's the sweetest guy in the world, he's an honest guy, but he doesn't go to keep Shabbos and Kashrus. Which person is better? I have no idea why they used to raise that question. We would like spend Shabbos afternoons in groups talking about this like from years and years. It's the most ridiculous exercise, most ridiculous project in the world. They're both awesome. They're both totally, completely shloki derech haTorah. So under no circumstances can a person take any degree of lightly anything in the realm of real gazela, gneva, nezik, etc., things like that. But again, it's embarrassing people talk about that, so then we're not going to spend too much time on that. But I want to talk about almost the next level in terms of realm of dine mamonis, and that is almost what we would sometimes call the finimishuris adin. We would call, somewhat of a midas chasidus. The Gemara is a very, very frightening statement in the second parak of the second Bar Mitzvah. But the Gemara asks the question, which there are many, many different answers to this question, and they're all MS. One question the Gemara asks is why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? So again, we've heard this question raised multiple times. It's probably the most popular question asked in any summer program. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? It's okay here?
Okay, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed?
Just the hum in the background is like, is impossible. But
okay. Why? This is good. I don't know how you guys can hear this. I can't even hear myself. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed?
So one of the many answers that the Gemara says is because shehamidu dinayim al din Torah. Because I told you I was right and you guys were wrong. B'nei shehamidu. Soon going to be a shout of music during the weeks of this one. B'nei shehamidu dinayim al din Torah. Because they observed all Cheshen Mishpah, because they observed all the Makam, the Mitzir, the Masra, because they kept all the Hilchas Shomrim, the Hilchas Torah, the Nidda, the Ma'am, the Hoyv, and everything Kedas, the Chedin. That's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That sounds very, very strange. The Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed for that, for care. That's a good thing. Is that what we're supposed to do? So the context of the Gemara is very simple. The Gemara says, because they didn't do the Lifnei Mishuras HaDin. Every time they had a Din Torah with somebody, so it was, every time they had it, I'm gonna talk really, really loud. I'm gonna scream. What? Yeah, it's cold and you can't hear anything. So I'm gonna come. Let me come a little bit closer. If I talk this loud, can you guys hear me? Okay. So why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because Shemitah Dineyam Al Din Torah. So what a strange thing. So the Gemara is explaining the context as follows: that everybody was very, very machbid on their own truthers. Everyone was machbid on all Hilchos Tzitzit. Except whenever they had a Din Torah with somebody, so they'd really let the other guy have it. That guy owes me 5 cents for the entire of the fine, and I'm Nagili. The money's mine. Nagili Bedin. How do we understand that? There's a parish, there's a sugya called Lefnim Yishur Sadin. So Tosfos has a strange question about Metziah. Tosfos asks, what do you mean the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of not by Lefnim Yishur Sadin? The Gemara in Gittin tells us, we know why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. So Tosfos says, Zev and Zev Gairin. They both contributed together. What does that mean? So the Chavar Tosfos is driving it as follows. It's the same Shoresh HaYisr. It's the same reason. Why is it that people are mamish dibeilot in Torah? Because they don't want to be dishonest. Nobody wants to steal. Everyone's very, very mocked. And I'll never steal a penny from you. But what? I won't steal money from you, but I'm not going to go the extra mile. Why am I not going to go the extra mile? Because they don't particularly like you. And that is rooted in Sinas Chinam. So the notion of going to Sinas Chinam is a practical expression of Avas Yisrael. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying, that a lack of Avas Yisrael and the corollary of a Sinas Yisrael, so those two things combined together, that can destroy, that can bring down a Beis HaMikdash. So Sinas Chinam is something we take with the utmost seriousness. There's a fellow who every year makes the same joke to me, the Beis Yom Kippur. I can't stop laughing because he says it so silly and so foolishly, but it's such a terrible joke, but I'll share with you anyway. So it's a good joke, it's just it's a terrible message. He says to me, Rabbi, it's every year I see him the day after him, he tells me the same story every year, like Azmi never to Chazor. He says, Shir Shechi Yid Beis Chayt, he says to me, Rabbi, you know, I clapped Al Chayt yesterday, Al Chayt Shechal Fenech Masinas Chinam, I'm telling you, I never violated Sinas Chinam in my life. I said, wow, you know why? It's not the Chinam. I got a lot of really good reasons why I hate everybody. That's what he tells me, the same joke every year. So Rabbi said, without any more jokes, Sinas Chinam and Hamina Dimeand of Din Torah is the same Shorish, it's the same board. So here the Chazal are telling us really a second level. That we're good? Sure. Okay. So here Chazal are telling us, yeah, sounds better? Okay. So here Chazal are telling us a second level in terms of B'chol Miyodecha. It is not enough simply not to steal from people. It is not enough simply if you happen to be backing out your car in the parking lot and give me a little scratch, and you go out of your way to pay that money. It is not enough simply to be careful about money that you owe, but to think that a person cannot go the extra mile and be mevater on his own moments to somebody else, that's also a violation of the Dinei Torah. That's also a lack of fulfillment of B'chol Mamoncha. So far, we've been talking about a lot of negatives. We've been talking about all the bad things that a person has to stay away from. But let's put a little bit more of a positive spin on things. So we know, of course, one of the mitzvahs of Torah is the mitzvah of tzedakah. Again, we're not going to spend the entire shiur talking about tzedakah, but just again, put a focus on the fact that tzedakah, the very mitzvah, the very nature of the mitzvah of tzedakah, of course, is the ultimate fulfillment of b'chol miyodeinu. So we have three different dimensions of b'chol mamoncha, b'chol miyodeinu, in terms of the negativity, not doing anything that's asur, in terms of the negativity of not taking advantage of just the pure dinim and not going the extra mile. And number three, the positive mitzvah in terms of being geimul chesed, of being giving tzedakah, sharing tzedakah with others. But everything we've been speaking about up to now is a very other lechaveiro kind of a shiur, which is important. But I want to shift gears a little bit into the realm of ben adam lemakom. And what exactly does that mean? What is that perspective on mamon, on money, when it comes to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we know that in the world of halacha, there is a concept that a person can fulfill a mitzvah, and yet he's yotzei the mitzvah, but that's not really the best way to do it. And that's the halacha, what's called hidur mitzvah. You know, very, very famous Gemara, Zekeli V'Anveyu, his nullifon of a mitzvah. A person is supposed to go the extra mile to perform mitzvahs. As we all know in this world, that anytime you up the ante a little bit, whenever you want to get something a little bit more than the standard, every chumra and every hidur is going to cost you. Like everything in this world, everything's going to cost you. And here the halacha tells us that yes, in Ochinami, that a person is supposed to spend a certain added amount of money on hidur mitzvah. Now again, this is not the forum right now to discuss the intricacies about what the nature of hidur mitzvah is. Is it a bit in the klavi, the mitzvah prati, is it a deraisa, the rabbonim, and tzvegit? A lot of lumdas, maybe another time, another place. But that concept of hiskalafon mitzvah, spending money on chafatzim shal mitzvah, and not only to fulfill the mitzvah proper, but to go the extra mile to have a nicer fulfillment of the mitzvahs, is clearly something that the halacha expects of us. How do we understand this idea, this concept, that the Torah expects of us basically to spend money on mitzvahs and to spend more money on mitzvahs. And even though we're yet to the bare minimum, we're supposed to spend even more if we can. And again, shlish, chomesh, whatever the nuances are. So this pasuk Zekeli Vendei, which is the source of this whole idea of really, in a sense, spending money, going the extra mile in performance of mitzvahs, the pasuk Zekeli Vendei was actually has multiple meanings. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that there's another meaning of Zekeli Vendeyu, anivahu, that we are supposed to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu rachum rachum, mahu chanun afatachanun. We're supposed to follow in the footsteps of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our interpersonal relationships. That's also part of Zekeli Vendeyu, anivahu, imitate me. The Targum Unkelus in Vashti B'Shalach on the Pasuk Zekeli Vendeyu gives an entirely different interpretation. The Vendeyu is from a Loshon Naveh, Loshon like a building, like a mikdash. Make me a Beis HaMikdash. So here we find in Chazal, within Chazal, three remarkably different interpretations of that same word, the Andreyu. One conjures up the image of the guy who's trying to buy an Esrog and Erev Sukkos, and he realizes that one Esrog is $80 and the other one is $100, and the $100 Esrog is really a lot nicer. Sometimes, by the way, the $100 Esrog is not necessarily nicer, just that the person who's selling the Esrog thinks it's nicer, but halachically it's not necessarily the case. So don't be fooled to just because something costs more money doesn't always mean it's better and nicer up the halacha. But the concept of spending extra money for mitzvahs is part of Zekeli Vendeyu. So how do we understand this phenomenon that the same pasuk Zekeli Vendeyu is the source for adding $20 to the Esrog bill, it's the source for being a nice guy, anivahu, and it's the source for building a Beis HaMikdash? What in the world is the common denominator between those three? And the answer seems to be very clear. It's only a throwback to when we started this year. It all boils down to the Haftas Hashem Lekech. The Haftas Hashem Lekech is a very, very funny mitzvah because we have to love a Kiddush Baruch Hu. And how do we do that? How do we express our love to a Kiddush Baruch Hu? So here, apparently, Chazal are telling us that there are three different ways that we express our love for a Kiddush Baruch Hu. We express that love for a Kiddush Baruch Hu, we'll go backwards, starting with the Targum, by building a Mishkan, by building a Mikdash. Namely, we want to spend time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that in of itself is an expression of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In addition, what the Gemara Shabbos tells us, anivahu, we emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you love somebody, you want to follow in their footsteps. Like that's why a little kid, you know, one of the first things a little kid says when you ask him, what do you want to be when you grow up? When you grow up, so he says he wants to be exactly like his father. So his father's a doctor, a lawyer, a rabbi, whatever his father is, I want exactly like my father. So the father's so happy, wow, my kid really, really wants to be, sometimes he says he wants to be a rabbi, maybe the father's not so, but he says he wants to be a doctor, a lawyer, a rabbi, wants to be an Indian chief, whatever he wants to be. So the father's really happy. Why is the father so happy? The kid's 3 years old. So the answer is, what the kid's really saying is that, Abba, I love you so much, I want to be exactly like you. And that's a very, very comforting thought. That's what a parent really openly wants to hear, that the child really wants to emulate the parent. So when we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to emulate you, we want to follow in your footsteps, we want to act like you, what we're really saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu anachnu ohavim otcha. We're saying to Ribbono Shel Olam, we really love you. So v'yaveyu means to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu by making a mikdash, a mishkan for his presence, to spend time with him. We love HaKadosh Baruch Hu by emulating him in our interpersonal relationships, and we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the vehicle of Hida Mitzvah, by spending those extra couple of dollars on mitzvahs that we don't really even have to, because our tefillin and our tzitzis and our shofar and our lulav are all kosher anyway, but we want to go the extra mile. We want to have the nicer esrog, not because we want to show it off, but because we really love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the money that we spend on mitzvahs is really an indication of just how much we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't really love mitzvahs, you don't really love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you just kind of have to do it because you have to be Yotzei Zayin. So we're going to cut corners in Abed Adam B'Mokom. We're going to look for the cheapest Esrog, and we'll look for the cheapest Matzah, we're going to look for the cheapest Maisa Mitzvahs, and every time we're going to cut corners. So am I Yotzei? Yeah, I'm Yotzei. Do I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'm not so sure about that. So the amount of money that we spend on Chafatzim Shel Mitzvah is a good litmus test. It's a good indicator to what our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. So again, so we have the first realm of Dine Mominus, the Torah's perspective on money, in terms of it on Lachadero, those were the negatives of Gezeila, Nezik, etc. The negativity of being medachted in every single pruta and not going with Mishur Zadid. Then we have the positive aspect of the mitzvah of tzedakah. And now that we've moved into the realm of Lamapom, so we have a whole new concept, the idea of spending money, and again, as a spending money, not just for the purpose of wasting money, but as an indication of what our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is all about. But now we get into something which is really one of the most touchiest issues in terms of our relationship with our money, and particularly our relationship with how the money interacts with our entire Avodas Hashem, and that is the unique relationship between money, or pursuit of money, pursuit of financial means, in contrast sometimes to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And here, we find a very, very strange thing, because Chazal tell us that same Gemara and Shabbos that we started with, Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us a series of questions in the Yom HaDin, and two of those questions are become interrelated to one another. One is the Satva the Satva Be'amunah, were you honest in your business? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu also asks you, Kavati Itim HaTorah, did you set aside, did you establish time for Limud HaTorah? So it's very possible that these two questions are very, very, very much connected to one another, because basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking us, what is our relationship, what is our outlook, what is our Hashkafas HaChayim between the pursuit of the physical monetary gains in this world and the pursuit of Torah knowledge? And as we all know, the two do not necessarily go hand in hand, and there are very, very often contradictions between the two, and very often that a person will exert X amount of energy and effort in one at the expense of the other. And here becomes one of the biggest challenges, and this is a very, very special, unique challenge that the Yeshiva Bachurim very often have as they begin to almost exit out of the cocoon of the world of the Yeshiva. Many of you, again, I don't know, some of you may be sitting and learning for many, many years to come. Some of you may decide to go into Klei Kodesh, but it's a Kodesh. And many of you, I imagine, will go into what we call almost more like the secular professions. Many of you may go off to medical school, to law school, to business, to whatever other shape or form you decide to make a parnasa. So here we have a little bit of an inner turmoil, a little bit of an inner conflict. On the one hand, making a parnasa and supporting one's wife and children is a wonderful thing, and that's something that should never ever be looked down upon. And if people do look down upon it, so that's not correct. That is a very, very positive thing for a person to support themselves, to live in a mechubad way, to be able to support the wife and children, to be able to do chesed, to be able to pay for the children's tuition. These are wonderful, good, very, very wholesome and healthy and Torah-like values. However, we walk a tightrope, because the tightrope is what Chazal tell us, that asay taras tekeva amalach techa aroi, that a person has to be able to balance that Torah is the ikar in one's life, and one's malach, one's pursuit of one's profession, is always going to be the tafel. This is true not only in terms of the time that one is actually involved in one's profession, but this is also true in the years leading up to that. You know, in the olden days, it didn't take very long to learn a profession. What do you think people were? I think how long did it take you to become a tailor, to become a blacksmith, to be those kinds of professions, a little bit of apprenticeship, you know, and showing you what I'd say. Today, we spend so many years towards the goal of having a parnasa. We're in our high school years, and then we're going to be in our college years, and we're going to be in graduate school, we're going to be doing internships, and summer internships, and winter internships, and fall internships, whatever, we'll always be interning, whatever. And we're still waiting for the internships end. And people are getting constantly, the guy's in medical school, and then he's done with medical school, and he's residency, he's an internship, and his fellowship, blah, 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 blah. By the time he's 65 years old, so he's ready finally to make a parnasa. So we spend so much of our time, so much of our life involved in the pursuit of parnasa, and yet these words of Chazal stare us in the face. Asay taras hakeva umalach techa aroi. How do we understand what that means? So the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah has this famous formulation where he describes the life of a balabos. The Rambam is not describing a guy in Kollel, he's not describing a guy as a Rebbe in Yeshiva, he's not describing an NCSY call in the summer. He's describing an average balabos. And the Rambam writes, there are about 12 waking hours during the day. You have to give about 8 hours or so to sleep. The days that the Rambam may stop for 8 hours. So Baruch Hashem, we sleep for about half of that, so we have more hours in the day. You know, you had to daven a little bit. The Rambam describes in a letter about what his day was like, how he had to travel. He was a doctor. He had to travel on his donkey, you know, from one place to another to see all his patients. So although it doesn't sound like there was too much traffic on the donkey, but he seemed to spend an awful lot of time wasted on his donkey. So every time I'm stuck on the George Washington Bridge, which is usually every day, so I always just think to myself that if I was the Rambam, I'd be stuck on my donkey somewhere in the outskirts of Cairo. So it's a close call, which is better. Anyway, so the Rambam describes an average day as about 12 waking hours, minus stopping and eating and things like that, about 12 hours. So the Rambam says for 9 out of those hours, this is the Malabos schedule, he sits and learns, and for the 3 hours he works. And then the Rambam depicts what he should be learning during those 9 hours. So he gives you the Mikra, the Mishnah, the Gemara, and then changes how old you are and how advanced you are, etc. And the Rambam doesn't bat an eyelash. He's describing the average day. The Chayyadam, a couple hundred years later, lived in Danzig. He was a businessman. He wasn't even a rabbi. He was a businessman in Danzig. And the Chayyadam writes that, you know, in today's world, it's kind of hard for an average person to make a parnasa working 3 hours a day. It's hard to learn 9 hours a day, but you know, most people could probably learn about 5 hours a day, says the Chayyavim. If I had 5 hours a day to learn every day, wow, I would be like the happiest guy on this planet. I said, who in the world has 5 hours a day? Unless you're sitting in Kol Yom Balayla, even you're a Rebbe, you're a Rav, you're anything, nobody has 5 hours a day to learn. That's the Kakidaka Shalom, that the world, and America's Shalom, things are different. I don't know, but in America, I don't know too many Balabasim in America who are learning 5 hours a day. So what does this mean? What do the words mean for us, practically speaking? A person can't make a parnasa unless he's working X amount of days, X amount of hours. So I think here we have to almost invoke a different sugya in terms of Iker and Tafel, almost a sugya of Chas Brachas. You know, we know there's a principle in Chas Brachas when I have two foods that are mixed together, so I make the bracha of Iker, and that's potter the Tafel. How do you determine what's an Iker, what's a Tafel? So there are two different mechanisms in Chas Brachas that are invoked to determine what's Iker, what's Tafel. So one is Rov, whatever the majority is, most of the food, but then there's another way. Let's say you have french fries and you have ketchup. And a guy has a lot of ketchup. A lot of ketchup. Maybe there's more ketchup than french fries. So he wants to know, well, ketchup's probably not such a good example. It's probably had double ketchup anyway. Okay, maybe something else. These guys got a cereal in his milk. So why is the milk tafel to the cereal? So the answer is because fundamentally my goal in the morning is to eat cereal. That's my, no one should say anything. I'm not commenting on any cereals these days. That wasn't the meaning of this discussion. But whatever, I'm eating cereal and milk for breakfast. So a person's primary goal is to eat cereal, and there's some milk that's kind of tough. So the role of the milk is to misharis. The role of the milk is to assist, is to enable you to be able to enjoy the cereal. Otherwise, the cereal's pretty schwach. It's got his bowl of Cheerios. It's a little dry. It's not so great. You throw some milk, and the milk makes it taste a little bit better. So in Hilchos Torah, in Hilchos Melacha, that's what a person's approach has to be. What is Beirimah? What is the engine in a person's life? Where is his life really? Is a person's life really truly in the world of business? Is his world really in the law firm? Is his world really in the business? Is the world really in the doctor's office? Is that what defines him? Or is that secondary to what defines him? What defines a Jew, and it doesn't just mean a boy at the age of 17 in the kollel, it means a person at the age of 55, a person in the prime of his career, what is his definition? Who is he exactly? Is he a Ben Torah? Is he a Shiva Bachar who happens to be working? Or is he a Balabas who happens to find a few minutes here and there to learn? And that is probably the most fundamental question that a person has to ask themselves. This question was posed to someone as great as Yonah. The Navi Yonah is asked, in the beginning of Sefer Yonah, he's asked the following question. Mamalachtecha, what's your job? So he's asking basically, you know, give me your resume. What do you do for a living, Yonah? Who are you? What's your job? What does Yonah respond? He doesn't say what he does. I have no idea what Yonah did for a job. Maybe he was a blacksmith, maybe he was a tailor, maybe he was a farmer, I have no idea. But you know what his response to that question is, Mamalachtecha? He says, I'm Oyvid es Hashem, Hashem she'asas Hashemayim ba'aretz. I'm an Eved Hashem. That's my malacha, that's my job. So when somebody asks yourself, so what do you do? What do you do for a living? Living, kehem chayne v'rechamin. What do I do for a living? Bav mitziyah. What do I do for a living? Yavamas. What do I do for a living? Cholin. That's my living, that's who I am. You want to know what I do to pay my bills? It's a different question. So, okay, your office doesn't pay the bills so well. Who does pay the bills? I got to go to the office a couple of hours every day. It's a mindset. You know, it sounds like a little bit of a game, but it's so true. Ultimately, who I am, what I am, wherein lies my priorities. If one changes the tune a little bit, changes the channel a little bit on that mindset, and views the pursuit of money as simply a way to enable him to pay his bills, to support his family, to give tzedakah, to be able to live in a covetic way, if that's what his mindset is, then he will find in a tremendous amount of time for learning. There is so much time for learning. You know, today's world, that concept of, you know, you got to work in the morning, you know, the 9 to 5 work, it's over. It's history. That's gone. I said, it's gone, bein l'chula, bein l'kula, because work never ends, anyone who knows, I mean, not just the Rav, but everyone's on call. The only thing that a Rav is worse than a regular Balabas, a regular Balabas' job, he's on 24-6. A Rav is on 24-7, because he's got to work on Saturday, he can work on Saturday, doesn't apply to Rabbis. He's got to answer Shilas, preferably not on his cell phone, but he's got to answer Shilas and Shabbos also. So we're all on call 24-7 to some degree. We're all working all the time. Those specific hours, I remember when I was a little kid, I remember my parents would come home from work, and like 5 o'clock, like the day was over. That's not the way it is. Anyone knows that's not the way the world is today. On the other hand, there is so much time in between that this time sitting on the bridge and this time in between clients as this time and there are long lunch breaks, they're all kind of different times. So there's Daf Yomi, and there's Mishnayos Yomi, there's everything Yomi you can name it. Every possible thing Yomi has already been created. So there are so many things to do. There are so many different Torah, and it's literally at your fingertips. So that's my job. So again, if I view myself as I'm fundamentally a doctor, a lawyer, this is who I am, and if I chop a couple of minutes here and there to learn Matzoyim, so then those minutes are going to be few and far in between. But if I turn around the tables a little bit and I say I'm fundamentally a Ben Torah, fundamentally a Shiva Bacha, who has to go to work, so then I will find a tremendous amount of time. I do not mean time at the expense of a person's boss. I do not mean time at the expense of somebody else's mominus. That's a throwback to the first part of the Shia. So mitzvah of Yaveret, because Baruch Hu is not interested in you doing your mitzvahs at somebody else's expense. The Gemara tells us in the second book of Baruch Hu that Chazal chopped off part of half the Brich HaMozom, so a person could be able to get back to work on time. So a person has to be very, very careful and very, very honest with all of his business dealings, but there is so much downtime throughout the course of a person's day that a person has to be able to find. There's a comment from the Chofetz Chaim on the question, Kavata Itim Torah. The Pasuk says in Navi that the word Kaveya is synonymous with the word Gozel. It's the steal. The Chofetz Chaim says, Kavata Itim Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu asks you, did you steal money for Torah? What does that mean? Steal? Chalila, Mitzvah Bevera? So Chofetz Chaim gave a mashal. He said, there was once a little boy who his mother was to bake bagels to sell in the market. So his mother gave him 100 bagels to go out to sell in the Polish market. And he brings, the little boy schleps out his sack full of bagels, and then a bunch of thugs come and start beating him up and start grabbing his bagels, stealing his bagels, and he starts crying, he's crying and crying, everyone's stealing his bagels. So somebody comes over to him and says, little boy, what are you crying about? He says, why am I crying? You're stealing my bagels. So somebody says to him, little boy, if they're stealing your bagels, so steal some also. You'll grab a few of those bagels also, because otherwise you could have nothing to sell. You're not taking every one of the bagels, maybe they're taking 90 of them, but steal 10 of them, steal, so to speak, your own bagels, steal some of them for yourself. Chofetz Chaim said that there are so many things that are stealing our time, so many things are yanking and pulling at us in terms of our time. Steal a little bit also. I don't mean steal. If you walk out of the shul and say, Rabbi Sabosa, Kapasa, you have to steal. Oh, that was the one that got out of the army, the rabbi said it's okay to steal. No. Steal time. You know, this is imagine, the Chofetz Chaim said this mashal back in Radin, back in the 1890s. What could possibly have been happening in Radin? What tremendous Yetzirahs were going on in Radin in the 1890s? And what was happening? How many emails did the Chofetz Chaim get at any given moment? For us, they're always stealing your time. Everywhere we go, Hashem Yerachem, we're getting bombarded, we're getting killed. And again, I'm just talking from my own personal experience. I don't know how to do any of this kind of stuff. My kids know much more. I don't know anything. I know how to answer email. I do know that. Today, I had to answer one of my cousins sent me an email. I had to answer it back in Hebrew. It took me an hour and a half to type one paragraph in Hebrew because I had no idea what any of the letters were on the key. So it was mamash. I was embarrassed, but I'm sure such I'm terrified. We figured it out. Anyway, so Rabbi, we're bombarded with our emails, with our texts, with our WhatsApps, with our phone calls, with our, and those are all the things I know how to do, and you guys can add in a lot more than that. We're bombarded, even with things which are okay. I didn't say one thing that was a double also here. I'm talking about at work. We're just bombarded with everything. We're in 600 WhatsApp groups all at the same time. So steal for yourself also. We have some time for Torah. Don't be embarrassed to grab those minutes to Zvanshala Yomlo Laila. Grab a little bit of lunch break. Grab the time, the downtime. Grab the time you're in the car. I say, Taras Kekev Amlach Techarvah. But there's another aspect, and perhaps, this may be even the most important of our entire dimension of what our view on Dini Mominus and our view on the world of the monetary world around us is. And that is, yes, it's true, and 100% I'm not retracting one iota from what I said before, that it's a mitzvah satorah to support a wife and to support our children, to be able to live in a chubad way. But we have to ask ourselves, look ourselves in the mirror, and even more than looking ourselves in the mirror, know that if Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask us this question, what do you need in this world, and what do you want in this world? And this throws us back to a little bit of a problem, because in Aramaic the words are the same, boy. But it's probably one of the most important exercises we can do with ourselves and with our children. I used to do this all the time. with my kids, especially back, you know, 15, 20 years, we used to drive in carpools forever on the bridge. So I used to try to instill this message into them. I tell them the following, we play a little game. I said, I want you to give me five things that you want and five things that you need. That was a question. Give me a list of five things you want. As kids got older, it changed a little bit. Five things that you want, five things that you need. So, you know, those remember my, you know, some of my kids' little personality. So, you know, Mayakam, the oldest son, he always knew exactly what I wanted. From him, he was 8 years old. He'd say, oh, we need Torah. We need mitzvahs. We need a... Give me a break. But what he really wanted to say is, we need another trip to the pizza store tonight. We need another milkshake at Lazy Bean today. You know, we need another, you know. So I try to teach them the difference between needs and wants. What do we need in this world? We need air, but that's the good news is that it's free. We need water. I can't say it's free, but okay. Baruch Hashem here, I got 3 cups of it. We need some food. Okay, we got Baruch Hashem. We're good. We got enough food that we need. No question about it. What else do we need in this world? We need a house the size of what we can afford. Do we need that? Do we need the vacation that we can afford? Do we need the car that we can afford? I didn't say a word about a person going over their means. I'm not talking about irresponsible spending. I'm talking about a person who has the means. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hu blessed him with the means. Just because we have the means, this is a very, very, I want you to remember this, we're getting a little bit older. Just because we can afford something doesn't mean that we should have it. The Ramban has this famous comment on the Pasuk Kedoshim Tiyu. Kedoshim Tiyu means that a relationship with Olam Hazeh has to be that just because something is mutter doesn't mean that we do it. The Ramban is talking specifically about basar, yayin, and other kinds of activities, so we can extrapolate from the Ramban to other kinds of pursuits of luxuries. And this puts a very, very, you know, significant spin in everything we've been talking about. Because up until now, we've been talking about what you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to steal, and you're really not supposed to be so cheap that not supposed to be shizadim, and you're supposed to give a lot of tzedakah, and you're supposed to spend a lot of money and you're on mitzvahs, and you're supposed to try to learn as much as you can, and I say, Tarasra, Kevlach, Tarai. All of that is true. But now, Rabbi, I can do all the above. I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to give a lot of tzedakah. And I'm going to have beautiful, beautiful pair of tefillin, and I'm going to have a gorgeous sukkah, and everything, but I'm going to spend X amount of money on house, vacation, car, etc. to plug in the differences. And yet, it's also shalom kederach haTorah. It doesn't fit into the Torah's model. Now again, I'm not pointing fingers, and I'm not criticizing, and sometimes people have certain cheshbonas that they have to have certain, you know, luxuries to enable them to enhance this. I mean, so again, this is not a judgment of any particular person, but it's a question of a lifestyle. Is our lifestyle luxurious? Is our lifestyle, no pun intended, the Frim Shur Sadin, is our lifestyle la'elul, just because the Kiddush Baruch Hu gave us and blessed us in Olam Hazeh, doesn't mean that we have to live a life of luxurious Olam Hazeh. And that's also part of our relationship with the Kiddush Baruch Hu at our money as well. So when we get to say Kriya Shema about 45 minutes or so from now, when we get to that phrase, B'chol Yodecha, these are some of the things that should be turning in our heads. Just how honest are we? Are we really, really careful? Do we sometimes do funny things? You know, do we sometimes, you know, cut corners a little bit in ways that we shouldn't be doing? Are we going that extra mile? Are we being too machped on ourselves? Are we not going that extra mile if we should have been? Are we really using the resource that Kodesh Baruch gave us, both in terms of Ram Lachaveh, in terms of Tzedakah, and Ram Lamach, in terms of Shmuel Samitzvah, and Hidden Mitzvah? Are we really walking that balance of Torah and Malacha in the proper way? And Hologa B'Kulam, are we just living a little bit too much in Olam Hazeh? Let me give you one last, and then we'll end with this. When it comes to the last Nekuda, the way that we live Olam Hazeh is going to impact on our children. And even if we may be able to kind of walk some of those balances properly, there's no assurances that our children will be able to. Because if our children see that the things that excite us, the things that interest us, are those extra special luxuries of Olam Hazeh, We don't know where that's going to take the next generation. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us a siyata b'shmaya. Hope we fulfill the chol be'odecha b'chol mamoncha in all its ramifications. Connected.